Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, I think Mega Rapidash could be a really sweet fire fairy.
Yes, that one should be
with
fire
like
fairy.
Pegasus wings.
Yes.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show where the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
String of Death!
And your co-host,
and welcome to the 352nd episode of the Pucko Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host, the first of which being the golden vocal voice of Bosifus.
They're actually just silver lined.
Silver lined. Is that expensive to get done, or is it just like natural?
Actually, no. I just put like a little bit of silver dust in each one of my teas in the morning, and just naturally coats the vocal cords.
I'm not going to take that joke any further. That sounds really unhealthy, and I hope nobody ever does that.
I've been doing it for the past 8 years.
We are also joined by the one, the only, the man who wanted to be a minstrel, Mr. Maximus.
Salutations, fare thee wells. How do you do this afternoon, morning, or evening that suits you well?
Knowing what you look like in real life, it would be kind of hilarious to have you show up to a PuckleCon and you're kind of dressed up in like the Renaissance like bard costume to be a minstrel, to just like fully grab that. You're just so tall. I feel like it would be incredibly out of character, but it would be hilarious.
It would.
Full tights and the poofy like short pants. Yeah. And the big hat, the big poofy hat that's kind of like to the side.
Yes, absolutely.
What a sitar to my side.
I was thinking like a little lute, like a tiny little lute though.
So, welcome to the Pucko Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name that I came up with when I was 16 back in 2007. We talk everything from the video game to the trading card game to Pokemon Art Academy. So, welcome back if you're old. Welcome if you're new. We really appreciate you listening. We have a fun show lined up for you here today, guys, and I'm excited to get into it. But before we kick it off too much, I just want to know how things been with you guys. How's life? How's everything?
Things are going actually pretty great. I'm about to move here in the next week or so. Going to be moving like straight into St. Louis, so it'll be awesome. I've actually been playing a lot of Pokemon Go.
Are you friends with me on Pokemon Go?
No.
Wait, how come you guys are not friends on Pokemon Go?
I don't know. I'm friends with Maximus. Maximus and I are almost third-level friends.
I'm upset that we're not friends on Pokemon Go.
Yeah, well, we can change that after today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been playing Pokemon Go. I've also been playing Pokemon Prism, the ROM hack, on my phone, just as like a poop game. That's been going really great. I really like that. This got like a bunch of weird puzzles in it, and it goes to like some weird 2D stuff too. Plus, the villains are really funny. Anyway, that's it.
Okay. Did you hear that they're actually taking down a bunch of ROM sites now? And it's real sad.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into like some of the old ones that I used to really love. Like Pokemon Glazed was really good.
taking a lot of them down.
Yeah. Get them while they're hot, man.
Go get Ash Gray while you can.
Yeah. Ash Gray's classic.
Did they ever finish it?
I don't know that they ever finished it. It's always just like a continuous work in progress.
I think they got up to like halfway through the Orange Islands or something, and I don't think anything else happened. Like, they released like little patches or updates or stuff, but it was never anything big. It would just like fix little bugs.
Let me see if I can find it. But yeah, no, they got somewhat far. I think, okay, so I just found one that's all the way up to March 2017. And I am not sure how far it actually goes. It looks like they changed up the format a little bit, but I don't know. I'm not sure. It looks like it didn't finish.
You got any ROM hacks that you love? Email them at thepucklepodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, man. I don't know that I have time for more ROMs.
But if they're going to be taking them down, man.
That's true. Oh, we'll just host them on our website. That's a good way to get Nintendo to notice us.
Yeah. Just start posting them to our website.
Then we'll get a nice cease and desist letter, you know?
Yeah. They'll be like, okay, guys.
We're on good terms.
While we're here.
That's exactly how we get our in with the Pokemon company right there.
Yeah, it's totally break it, fix it style. The oldest marketing in the book.
Yeah. How about you, Maximus? What have you been up to?
Well, like the Bo himself, I've been playing a lot more Pokemon Go. Actually, I've been riding on this Pokemon Go train ever since PuckleCon. Because before PuckleCon, I stopped playing Pokemon Go for like a half a year.
So. Same.
It's a good way to get exercise.
True.
Fun fact.
True. And also, I've been playing a lot more Showdown. I stopped making Pokemon because it just got like a little repetitive. Because I don't know, like, well, originally I made the Pokemon that I like just like playing with, like all my cheese comp. But with Showdown, I'm gonna have to try a lot more interesting things. Like, I once took a PU team and beat OU with it. So there was some like hacks and cheats and like I'm not cheating. I just get really lucky with some of this stuff.
No, you're just better than them. That's the real answer. You're better than them. You practice. Yeah. You're the best around. Nobody's ever gonna keep you down. And that's the truth of it. As for myself, I've been doing a lot. I went and did an EX raid for Pokemon Go actually yesterday. That was a good time. Got the Mewtwo. That was my second one. I didn't expect for it to happen. There's like a Sprint store down the street from where I live, and I was just passing by it one day. And I'm like, oh, cool, a little raid. Let's go do it. That's an easy like 3,000 experience, right? And then the next day it comes up, and I got an EX raid pass. And I'm like, oh, I did not know that was an EX raid gym, but I guess that's cool. So I went and did that. Ended up doing a couple other raids yesterday. Did a Regirock raid. Did not catch it. That was, I think, more disappointing to me than the Mewtwo. Yeah. And then I've been playing some Pokemon Crystals for funsies. Though last week, man, I was gonna do some other stuff, go stream and everything, but I ended up having to travel a lot for work, and I was sleepy, and then I got sick, and now I'm here, and we're making a podcast about Pokemon, and that's my life.
Word.
What a life.
Yep, what a life, man. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, I plan on doing some more stuff this week. I plan to get back to streaming this week. I want to get some battles in. We got Battlecast coming out this week that I need to actually prep for and do some Battlecast-y things and then record it and stuff with our good friend Shamu and probably Sigma. It's going to be... I'm a big fan of Battlecast and the way we reformatted it. I don't know if you guys listened to it yet, but I'm a big fan of the way it was reformatted.
I have not. I've loved the separation of Puckle and Puckle Plus so much that I haven't listened to Puckle Plus at all.
Honestly,
it's been so convenient that I'm like, oh crap, I'm not listening to the other shows.
So honestly, you're the reason, people like you, Bo, are the reason why we did it.
I know. And I was like, I'll totally do both. And I'm like, nah, crap.
Because there are there were people who were frustrated that their feed was getting cluttered with our sideshows, and so we wanted to make sure we can split it. We didn't make a feed for every single podcast, like Game Corner didn't get its own feed, and TCG Cast didn't get its own feed, only because those I view those kinds of shows as things that we can kind of drop whenever we feel like dropping them, and then we can pick up on something else. And instead of having a dead feed, at least you still have a feed with something else going on. I think a perfect example of that is MovieCast.
Right.
Somebody sent us a tweet about that. They asked us if we were going to complete MovieCast ever, and I didn't reply. I don't know what complete means, by the way. I would
assume go through all the movies.
Yeah, complete. I think they made it through some. I think they made it through like 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah. And did they get to Sinnoh? Yeah, they got to Sinnoh.
They got to Sinnoh. But I want to make an official statement about MovieCast here, just so people have it in their headphones and stuff like that, and they can hear me say it. But my real answer to that is Ethan's gone. There was a lot of Ethan in MovieCast. I don't know if people realized how much soul he brought to that show, but unless we can find somebody who's as passionate and as knowledgeable as Ethan and able to tear a movie apart in that respect, I don't know that I'm comfortable releasing MovieCast, whatever number we're on now, 15 or 16 or something like that. So that's my official statement. And on that note, we'll kick it on over to the news. We got some news to talk about. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And in the news, we have actually not that much. I like hyped that up a lot with that voice, but there isn't that much going on. So on October 2nd, guess what's coming out? They are releasing the movies 1 through 3 collection in the United States on October 2nd in a standard Blu-ray case. Previously, you could already buy this in a steelbook. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing.
Except no Pikachu shorts. It's a ripoff. Don't buy this product. Worthless.
I bought the steelbook version of this. It still does not have the Pikachu shorts in it, which is sad.
Garbage. Worthless. 0 out of 10. Would not buy.
You and I bought... You were with me when we bought the steelbook.
Okay. The Blu-rays are gorgeous.
Yes.
7 out of 10. No, probably 8.5 out of 10 on the Blu-ray quality, but without the Pikachu shorts. Brings it down to 0.
It does look gorgeous, though. I can't believe how good they look. It blows my mind. Yeah, they're talking about this as if there's something new. It's not. It's just, hey, instead of a steelbook, you can go get it there. The thing is, at least it's the first 3 movies, which are the only really good ones. They do already have a DVD collection for movies 4 through 7, which is fine because all of those are bad, like, objectively. I think the best one out of the bunch is maybe Pokemon Heroes.
I like Destiny Deoxys because in no other movie do you get Rayquaza fighting 2 Deoxys in a city.
So Destiny Deoxys has, this is a complete aside, has one of the most ethically disturbing actions that happen in it, for me at least. And this is that so Deoxys is like this new creature that lands on Earth, right? These guys automatically go, this a Pokemon. And I'm just like, how do you know it's not like an intelligent being like you? And it's just like, nope, not a human. We're going to put it in a ball.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, this sounds, you guys are awful. I don't know if I want to live in the Pokemon world anymore. You just assume anything not human is a Pokemon.
Well, but in the Pokemon lore, humans are Pokemon.
Okay, we can get into that at some point, but not today.
Not today.
I think there's a lot of things to talk about there, but not today. We could definitely dive into it.
I will call your raise you, sir.
Oh man. So other than that, there wasn't too much news. There's a lot of Pokemon Go news. First of all, if you're interested in raiding level 5 raids without friends, you can go catch a Regirock in Pokemon Go now. It is the final Regi to be announced as a tier 5 raid. So that's cool. Also, starting Monday, which is when the show comes out, you can download, or you'll get the special research to catch Celebi in Pokemon Go. So that's pretty cool. Unless you went to GoFest. If you went to GoFest, you got Celebi for free. If you complete this special research, you just get more candy. So, meh, it's all right. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's all right. But I can't wait to see what kind of impossible Pokemon I have to catch, like Ditto. I can't wait to see what that's like.
I just completed that. I'm stuck on the catching ghost types. I have really? Four.
Wait, what level are you guys on? What
I'm already finished with that. I'm finished.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I finished it a while ago.
Oh yeah, I'm on I think the fifth tier. I just started playing again though, like you said, Maximus, after PuckleCon.
Gotcha.
I'm level 28.
All right, but if you want to do more in Pokemon Go, there's some more stuff that's also coming out. Right now, I believe there is... oh, man, I just missed it. I forgot what I was going to say. They're updating the app, though, this week as well to fix some glitches and stuff like that. So watch out for that. And Pokemon Go is just doing Pokemon Go. Oh, I was thinking about Community Day. They did announce the next Community Day. It is going to be Chikorita. It's going to be on September 22nd. They also announced the next two dates for Community Day, which is October 21st, and then once again on November 10th. So we could totally go catch some Pokemon then. My bets are it's either going to be Ghastly in October or Ralts. That's what my money's on. November is going to be Totodile. Calling it now, guys. Calling it now. If I'm famous, if I get it right, the Totodile one's not that bold, but I think October is pretty bold.
I like that Chikorita is in September because Chikorita's shinies are like fall-ish.
Yeah.
That's when it starts going to fall.
You're exactly right.
And there will be shiny Meganiums and gyms and stuff, and it'll mm-hmm. it'll be nice.
This event is going to have 3x capture experience as well as 3-hour lure modules. There's always 3-hour lure modules, but 3x capture experience is really fun for that time. It's always 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern or 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. Your choice, whichever time zone you want to convert from. And I think, I mean, that's honestly it. That's like all of the Pokemon news that's happened. There were a couple fun little videos for Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee that came out. One of them showed some new showed moves being used in Let's Go, as well as that hideous PvP stadium.
Oh yeah, ew.
It makes my soul hurt. They also did show Mega Kangaskhan and Mega Gyarados as well in a trailer.
Yeah, what do you think? You think they're highlighting Megas a lot because they're going to do new ones?
I don't think so, but if they did, I wouldn't be surprised if that makes any sense. Like, they're Pokemon. They're going to do what they want to do. And if they feel like Megas are the way to go to hype people up for this, then so be it. But I feel like that's Megas are kind of the way they showed that they can add things mid-generation, right? Mm-hmm. Though if we talk about adding Pokemon mid-generation, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, there's your example. They're just breaking all the conventions anyway. So there really aren't any rules. They very well could just be like, yeah, man, we're welcome to the future. This is here. Have your Mega Golem, your Mega Machamp. Machamp's now Spider-Man. And or Dr. Octopus.
Goro.
He's just running around with his 8 arms and punching things even faster. But I could see them doing it as a Pokemon fan and not a Bosefist Pokemon fan. I'm kind of at the point right now where, especially after the past 5 years, right? The past 5 years have felt to me like a constant celebration of Generation 1. And I just I'm tired of it. I'm kind of just over it, right? Like, if we go all the way back to X and Y, it's just a Generation 1 celebration. You've got X and Y where they're just like, hey, Mega Evolutions, by the way. And they're just like, also, by the way, have a Gen 1 starter of your choice. Have fun with that. And like, yeah, that was really cool at the time. All of the music in X and Y kind of celebrated Pokemon as a whole. And then they just keep adding Megas and stuff like that. And then Sun and Moon are coming out. And of course, it's the 20th anniversary of Pokemon at that point. And then they're just like, yeah, Alolan Pokemon, which are only Gen 1 Pokemon, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, they also did the Ruby Sapphire remakes, which were also done at the same time as the Fire Red Leaf Green, the Red Blue remakes. So, you know, it's still almost like more Gen 1 tacked on top of it.
And then on top of it, that they say, hey, you know what the next the first game on the Switch is? It's just Gen 1 again. Like, yeah. Here you go. And just like, and not to mention, the other thing would be Pokemon Go for like the long, for the first 10 months of its existence, or not 10, I'd say 8 months of its existence. It was just Gen 1 Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
And man, I'm just tired. I have Gen 1 fatigue.
Basically, Gens 4 through 6 don't exist right now.
Yeah, it just really, it just hurts me. I would be so okay with just letting Pokemon be Pokemon, and I can understand where they're coming from, especially with what they're trying to do with the Let's Go games. And also, I can understand to an extent, but deep down in my heart of hearts, I'm just so tired. I'm so tired of Gen 1. And that's not a popular opinion. Well, I'd say it's a semi-popular opinion. It depends on who you are in the fandom. And I am just so tired of it, though.
Give it 6 months. We'll get Gen 4 out in Pokemon Go. And yeah. That'll be revitalizing. Let's Go will have been out. We'll have played that game. And then we'll have heard news on our new beloved Gen 8, hopefully.
We'll hear about Gen 8 probably at the earliest it's going to be February. That's my opinion. At the earliest it's going to be February, but it's probably going to be something more like March or April.
Okay. Well, 6 to 8 months then, Match.
It's going to be so depressing.
Just hang in there, buddy. Gen 4 will be out in Pokemon Go before you know it. Just hang on. Just breathe.
I'm so fatigued though by Gen 1. I mean, I'm going to keep talking about Pokemon because Gen 7 is at least like modern quote unquote Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All 18 of them.
All six. I think the number comes up to be like 73 or something like that.
Oh, I meant the ones that are like actually talk aboutable.
Oh, that's not even 18. That's like,
yeah.
it's like, hey, Tapu Koko. And then we're done.
Yeah.
But that is that's really it in the news, though. They're just like hyping up Let's Go a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised with Pokemon Worlds being next weekend if we got some kind of reveal on Friday, because they typically do something at the opening ceremonies where they're just like, oh, by the way, we announced this. And we're just like, oh, that's cool, because that's where Crabrawler was announced. They also announced Mega Kangaskhan at Worlds, which I found really ironic and funny. Because that was a Pokemon that dominated VGC for quite a while. They've just announced a lot of things over the years at Worlds that have had a bigger impact on the Pokemon community as a whole. And so I wouldn't be surprised if at Worlds this weekend on Friday, they're just like, hey, by the way, Mega Machamp's a thing. And it's just like, oh, that's really weird. And they're just like, guess what? He gets even slower, like every Pokemon we make now. And it's just like, I guess that's cool, guys. I'm sure you don't understand your own meta. It's fine.
I just want Mega Starmie.
Mega Starmie can be cool.
A lot of people have been asking for that one. Yeah.
I don't know how that works out for you. Like, but that's, well,
since they announced the copyright thing, I was just like, Mega Starmie would be rad.
That's probably one of the only ones I would agree with, honestly. Because a lot of them I don't think need Megas. I don't think Golem needs one. In particular, and honestly, I think Machamp's fine.
Especially since there's an Alolan Golem. Anyone that has an Alolan version of it shouldn't get a Mega.
Oh my gosh, you just it's only for Golem. There's just not Alola Golemite.
Okay, like, that's just a lot of words.
That's so easy.
We're done now. We're done.
there's just not going to be an Alola Golemite.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't think there's any other good news in Pokemon right now. But we'll keep you updated next week when something inevitably drops. So we will catch you guys with that next week. But before then, we're going to switch gears to Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. So let's switch on over to that. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. For those of you new to the show, the way this works is Bo and Maximus are going to be operating as a team to earn points. They are competing against the rest of the co-hosts on the show to get more points. than them. It's a race to 30 points. The first person to 30 points gets to choose a plush from PokemonCenter.com under $20 in value, and they win that. It's cool. It's a fun time. They actually get to win prizes and stuff. So right now, Bo isn't even on the board, so let's hope for the best. There will be five questions, one of which will include a bonus point. They also have a hint they can use on one of the questions, kind of like a lifeline. If they don't use that hint and answer all the questions correctly without it, they actually can cash that in for an extra point for a maximum possible total of 7 today. So if you guys are ready, let's get into it.
I'm Randy.
So my first question for you guys is, what move breaks Protect?
Isn't that Feint?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Feint. F-E-I-N-T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Yep.
That is correct. The answer is Feint. They were talking about this on the Discord server, so I thought I would bring it up because it's an interesting point. Feint does break Protect. Some people didn't think that existed. So it does.
It's actually an anime too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good move. It's plus 2 priority, and I think it's got a base power of 30. They dropped it just because it's not – they don't want it to be overpowered. It's not used very often in VGC, but it is every once in a while.
If I'm not mistaken, either Scyther or Pinsir gets it. And if Scyther gets it, that's pretty good for Technician.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ooh, yeah, nice.
So – on the roll of where we're going to be talking about priority just a little bit, I wanted to ask you another question. So that's 1 point for you guys, by the way. You guys are doing pretty well. You're 1-for-1. I want to know what move has the highest priority of plus 5 and goes before every move, including Protect.
So what's Sucker Punch's priority? Is that plus 3?
It's not plus 5. I don't think it's plus 5. Well, actually, hold on. He said, plus 5.
Goes before Protect. But I mean,
Protect's priority as a given is going to be plus 4. Just plus 4. So you know.
Wait, is it Rage Powder or Follow Me? It's like one of those moves or something like that? Or no?
I'm trying to even think what moves are priority. Because, yeah, wouldn't it be one of those obscure things? Because I know it's high up there, but I want to say it's only like plus 3 or plus 4.
Because I think I've seen Extreme Speed outspeed Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
I've seen that. So it's not, it can't be Sucker Punch.
Do you want to use our hint?
We might as well. Like, I don't feel like I don't know if we're going to get all of
them. Yeah, I don't think we have a good enough answer.
Your hint then is this is a status move that is only good in double battles.
Yeah, it probably is like Rage Powder or Follow Me.
It's good to use on your partner.
Oh, wait, is it that move,
Helping Hand?
It could be, actually, it could be. I haven't seen Helping Hand in a good long time. Not since, like, Pokemon Coliseum. That's the last time I've seen Helping Hand in a battle.
I'm gonna need an answer.
I don't think it has any priority. Do you want to say one of the things?
We can. I'm thinking, what's that move that you can like relay switch? I don't know. You can do it to your partner and make him attack again. What's that move called?
The not Pangoro. Oranguru?
Yeah, what's that move called?
Instruct.
Instruct?
Or is that his ability?
No, his ability is telepathy. Yeah, telepathy and
Okay, do you want to say Instruct?
We can, because I can't think of anything else. I doubt that's it, but...
I don't know either. Yeah, we're shooting in the dark.
Instruct is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is actually Helping Hand.
Oh my god!
I even said it. I was like, I don't even think Helping Hand has priority.
Helping Hand goes before everything else.
I haven't seen that move done since Coliseum. No one uses it.
They use it actually a lot in VGC.
I've never seen it from the battles I've seen.
I used it particularly on the team that actually I let Bo borrow at PuckleCon. There, I used Helping Hand. It's nice to get a little bit of extra damage output if you need it. It's kind of one of those just tech moves like, oh, I've got an extra slot and I've got a support mon. Let me throw Helping Hand in there. So... good to just for your knowledge, Helping Hand goes first. It doesn't matter though. nobody really cares if it goes before protect. All right. So we want to know then, that's two questions. You're 1 for 2, 1 point. So we're going to keep riding this priority hype train for a little bit. So this next question, it comes with a built-in hint because I didn't think it was a good question unless you guys got a little bit of a hint. I want to know what Pokemon can learn the most non-zero priority moves. So moves that have plus one or minus priority. Hint, it's a fighting type and it's from Gen 2.
Okay, well, there are only 3 fighting types in Gen 2 and they're Heracross, Tyranitar.
Well, Hitmontop. Well, think about it. Anything that can't, well, technically that's not true. I can't say that.
How do I know that? What? That's easy.
It could be Tyrogue because it can learn all the egg moves that its parents can learn.
Well, then, but then wouldn't it be Hitmontop? Because doesn't Hitmontop learn
true
any other priority moves? Can we say the line?
I get no, because there's a difference in some of in the line.
Okay, well then I guess we have to say Hitmontop.
Yeah, I guess, and that's the case.
Is Hitmontop your final answer then?
Yeah.
That is correct. It is Hitmontop. He learns,
is it Rolling Kick?
He learns 14 boosted priority moves and 2 lowered priority moves. He learns like 16 priority moves. It's nutsos. It's crazy. But that gives you guys 2 points today. That is 2 points out of 3 so far. This next question is, as always, your bonus point question. And it has nothing to do with priority. It has to do with the Pokemon TCG base set.
All right. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
No, I got this, Maximus. Don't worry. Don't worry.
In the Pokemon trading card game, it is typical for water-type Pokemon to have weaknesses to lightning and to also grass-type Pokemon. It turns out, though, that in the base set of Pokemon, most water types were weak to lightning-type except for 2 evolutionary lines. What were they?
One is Poliwag. I know that one. And I want to say the other is Omanyte.
Is that your final answer?
I'm not 100%, but I mean, that's what comes to me at the top of my head without looking at anything.
Okay, you're going to say, is Maximus okay with those as well?
Go Dude, right ahead. TCG's all your territory, man.
I know for a fact Poliwag. I don't think it's like Seadra. I don't think it's Shellder. It's definitely not Articuno.
Was Omanyte in base set?
No. Oh, base set.
Wait, base set?
Oh, never mind. Shoot. I'm thinking like the whole thing. No, never mind. Get out of here. No, definitely not Omanyte. Thank you for that little helper.
I didn't say anything. It didn't happen. We'll cut that out.
Yeah. Smeagol, get rid of that, would you? Oh, Magikarp. No. Is Magikarp in base? I'm going to say Magikarp. I think it's Gyarados, though.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. It is the Poliwag line and only Gyarados, actually. Magikarp is actually weak to lightning. It's a weird evolution because Gyarados also isn't actually weak to grass in the video game.
But Magikarp is.
So I thought that was an oddity, and so it was really weird. Yeah. That was a good question. That's 2 points for you guys. So you guys are back up to 4 points for the day. So let's see if we can make it an even 5 for you. As always, the last question is the base deck question. And so I want to know, what fairy type Pokemon has the highest base HP?
Oh, wait, you said fairy type.
Fairy.
Yeah. So we only had to pause for a second.
Not bug.
I think it's fairy type.
Would it be like Xerneas or Diancie?
No, see, I think it may be Wigglytuff, because I know they have a lot of HP, just all their other stats suck.
Oh?
It could be Wigglytuff, but I'm trying to think all the other fairies, and all the legendaries, too. Because right now, that's the main thing in my mind, but it's not Clefable, it's not Florigus.
Mm-hmm.
Um,
are any even any other fairy types? Not like aromatise, I wouldn't think. I mean, they're big, but they're not.
No.
Like...
I'm going to need an answer.
If you think Wigglytuff, I'm cool with Wigglytuff.
I think it's Wigglytuff. Like I said, like its HP is really good. It's just its other stats are just terrible.
Okay. All right. I'm down, man.
Wigglytuff is correct. Wigglytuff has a base HP of 140. Nice. Far beyond, I think, number two slot. I forget what it is, but it's far beyond that. So it's going to be a good time. So that gives you guys 5 points for today, and that changes up the board somewhat.
Somewhat.
It's not. It's so easy for somebody to get the number two slot right now. It's incredibly easy. So
I think I'm looking at it right now. I think number two is Jigglypuff.
Oh, right. Right now in first place, we have Scrawn with 23 points. Tied for second and third place, we have Sublime and Mr. Maximus with 10 points apiece. In fourth place, we have Gator and Jushiro tied with 8 points. We have Sigma in sixth place with 7 points. Shamu in seventh place with 6 points. Whimsicott, Basket, and Bosefus are all tied for eighth place with 5 points. And Snag is bringing up the rear with 1. And everybody else has yet to get on the board. So that is going to be it for this episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz. And we're going to take a short break, guys, and we're going to hit you up with the topic.
Look out! A wild bow appeared, telling you how you can enhance your Puckle experience. If you haven't already, join us on Discord, where you can chat with other players and hosts. Follow and like our social medias, and come and watch us play on Twitch. If you're able to give anything, try Patreon.com or TeePublic, where you can get all kinds of sweet Puckle merch. And, last but not least, check out our Puckle Plus, where you can find shows like Game Corner, TCG Cast, and Battlecast. Catch you on the flip-flop!
And on to the topic, and our topic today is going to be new mechanics and how they can change a meta. And this came up mostly because Bo and I agreed that Gen 6 was the best meta that ever happened in all of Pokemon. While at the same time, the entire Pokemon community is going crazy about Mega Evolution with these rumors, and maybe even on Friday we see Mega Alolan Golem. I want to say Mega Alolan Golem specifically because that's the one nobody wants. And does he just turn into a railgun at that point? Like, just a full-on railgun?
I want it. I want him to become a full electric rock dragon. So that's what I think of Let's Go, and the mechanic for... Gen 8 is going to be is three types.
You know, they start doing three types, I'm done with competitive.
Nah, man. Just for like one turn. Like a one turn mega burst.
You mean a move that's like multiple times?
Like a Z mega.
You're done right now. You're just done.
No, I'm spitballing. Like, I'm just kidding. Like, do not listen to me.
I think before we get to Gen 8 and possible mechanic changes they can see there, I think it's good to go through the history of how this all came about. Beginning with the most balanced meta of all time, that being Gen 6. Generation 6 was the first meta to introduce Mega Evolutions, which was pretty much the first big mechanic change in Pokemon. And I think that was a really healthy way to change the mechanics in Pokemon, by the way. We always talk about the Pokemon battle system changing. I think there was that rumor for a little while that the new Pokemon games were going to include combat like that of Digimon World, which is hideous, and I'd never want to see that happen in Pokemon. However, I think that looking at these mechanic changes such as Mega Evolution, we can shed some light on how Pokemon becomes balanced. And if you look at that, it's really cool because, one, it does accomplish what they set out to do, which is to make old Pokemon relevant again. Because in what world is Mega Manectric actually Manectric itself viable? Or even for that matter, if we take a look at Pokemon like Mawile or even Charizard, Charizard on its own is a pretty poopy Pokemon. He's not very good. And
PU.
He is in PU. Fun fact.
Because he stinks.
Yes, because he stinks. Because he's an awful Pokemon. Absolutely garbage.
That's why it's called PU.
Only because
they stink. Because you go PU.
Mega Evolution brought a game changer in that, one, you get these powered up Pokemon. You get a lot more Pokemon that weren't viable before. And even in Gen 6, I would say not so much in Gen 7. In Gen 6, I think the way to team build a Pokemon was to just grab a Mega Evolution you liked and then build around that Pokemon, which I think is fantastic. And it was a much easier way to build than it was previously, where you're just like, man, where do I even start? And then you find out later on that Feraligatr was not a good choice. You should have chosen another Pokemon to build your team around. And that's, I don't know, I thought Megas were pretty cool, though. I thought they gave you a nice little spin on old Pokemon, but at the same time, they also kind of took competitive play to the next level, because you had to kind of guess which one of your opponent's Pokemon was going to be a Mega, and how that was going to affect your gameplay. And, I mean, especially in the case of Mega Charizard, you even had to guess which Mega it was going to be. Which is, if you guys haven't seen it already, in Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, to choose your Mega Evolution for Charizard, they let you choose which one you want to go to before you Mega Evolve.
What?
So you get both with one stone?
You guys are probably a little uninformed, but there are probably no hold items in Pokemon Let's Go. There are probably zero held items whatsoever.
Oh.
Yeah, that's depressing, right? There's also probably no abilities.
Yeah, I guess because there aren't hold items in Go, are there?
No, this is also probably I don't want to say bad things about it, because I know there are people who are excited for Let's Go, and rightfully so, you should be, but this is kind of a watered down Pokemon experience to an extent. Watered down is a bad way to say it as well. I guess I would call it, it is what it is, it's a casual Pokemon experience, right? And so you don't get the full-on Pokemon movesets with it. But however,
I feel like it's a Wii version of Pokemon.
That is a good analogy. It is what the Wii was to video games to the Pokemon franchise. Yes, I would agree with that. Except Battle Revolution, man. Give me Battle Revolution, please. Just let me have freaking arenas, man. That's all I want. Just give me an arena. Just not some digital arena thing. I'm just sick of it, Pokemon. Yeah. However, going back to Gen 6 meta, I think that Mega Evolutions were just... it was one of those things that kind of centralized the meta to an extent. That was kind of the overall strategy, and it was very rare to see a team without Megas. I don't know if you guys would agree with me or not.
Yeah.
Because I know you both played that.
My UUTC team didn't have a Mega.
What?
That was for sure. That was also before Aegislash and Greninja were banned, and I ran both.
So you were just the worst.
Oh, no. Both got banned during the tournament. We were like, oh, well, you don't have to adjust your teams. And I was like, it was great.
That's too good. No, I just... I think Megas were a really big shift in just how Pokemon was played. What about you, Maximus? You would say the same thing, I would assume.
Yeah, Megas were a big part of it, like, and that's before they got the whole meta got swamped with them back in Gen 6. Well, let's say X and Y, because my favorite Mega in X and Y was Mega Bayonet. That was my trifecta. He was part of my trifecta with some of my Pokemon. But once Auras started coming out, there were just so many to pick. Mega Bayonet fell to the wayside. I still use it, but they were just, why would you use it if you're playing like the higher tiers? Mm-hmm. But I always had this philosophy that you can do well with any Pokemon, but it's just really, really hard.
I think you're somewhat correct. I don't know that you could do well with Smeargle, unless it was the 2016 VGC meta.
Well, they all, like, every Pokemon has its niche. Like, so it works well in double battles versus, like, of course, better than, but since they, you can't chain anything anymore.
Yeah, it's sad. We can talk about shiny hunting or just chaining in general at some point, but because I talk about it a lot on stream. I'm just not a big fan of SOS chaining. I think it's the lazy man shiny hunting, because you can kind of just sit there and just shiny hunt for funsies, and just there's no involvement. You just have to make sure you don't kill the Pokemon. That's all there is to it. I think that was a big shift. I also think when we go to Gen 7, we get Z moves. I think those are also a big shift. Yeah, well, I don't think they were as big as Mega Evolutions. I think Mega Evolutions were the centralizing power, and Z moves were just a fun new toy more than anything else. I would say the addition of Z moves wasn't much different than the addition of new Pokemon in general. I mean, they're cool little tools you can add on, and sometimes it's really cool that you can get a Grassium Z slapped onto a Rotom Moe for some funsies. but I don't think they were as game-changing as Mega Evolutions, and that's okay. I don't think everything needs to be on par with a new mechanics change with Mega Evolutions. Though I think Z-moves are fun.
From a playthrough standpoint, the Z-crystals were fun because they were like how you tracked your progress, but there were like way more of them than like gym badges or anything. So there's like, what, 18?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One for each type.
And plus you got to go out of your way to get some of them too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was just a really fun way to like track your progress, I thought.
You're not wrong. I think that's absolutely true. There were some good times. I don't know. I think Z-moves, I think they wanted them to be something bigger than they were, but I like that there's more strategy that goes along with them. They made it a very balanced way. One, in that it has to be a hold item, and two, in that it's a one-turn thing, and if you mess up, you're done. Because I think the biggest indicator of that is sometimes you can predict Z-moves, just like you can predict moves of your opponent when you get to that higher level of play in Pokemon, right? And when you're predicting things and your opponent's just like, oh man, I'm about to unleash my Ghost EMZ move. What is that even called? I don't think Endless Nightmare or something like that.
Never Ending Nightmare.
Never Ending Nightmare, that's it. And it's just like, here comes Never Ending Nightmare. And then you're just like, here's my normal type Pokemon because every type's got normal type tacked onto it now because Gen 6 happened. You send out, you know, your Heliolisk or something, and they use up their Z-move slot for literally nothing. I think they did a good job there, though, making them not super overpowered. I really do like that mechanic. And it seems like that's kind of what they're trying to do now with Pokemon, is come up with a new quote-unquote mechanic for battle to kind of keep things fresh. Though I'd be okay in Gen 8 if they didn't come out with one. I don't know that I need, like, hey, here's another hold item for your Pokemon, so now it can, for one turn, be a water type or some nonsense, right?
Right. It would be nice to get more Megas or more Z-moves.
I think Megas are probably the big thing that a lot of people are looking to in terms of getting more.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just put in another dozen and a half more, you give Gen 5 love, you give Gen 6 love. You could even give Gen 7 love in Gen 8.
Yep.
And then if you hit a few backlogs, maybe the Johto starters, whatever.
Exactly.
And then you've got a whole new shift up, not to mention if you add, you know, they were saying they were going to add a bunch more Pokemon, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many more. I like how many they've been adding in recent generations. Because if you look at Gen 6, they only added about 70 or 80. And then the same goes for Sun and Moon. They only added 70 or 80. And I feel like that's a good number of Pokemon to add, especially at this point, with how many Pokemon we have in general.
I was checking out Ultra Beast today. Poipole and Naganadel, in specific, their Pokedex entry for Poipole stated that it was like so popular that it was like chosen to be like a starter Pokemon in its dimension.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I also thought it was interesting about Poipole that it kind of like set this new tier, because it was like a kind of an unspoken rule of Ultra Beast and Sun and Moon that they can't evolve or that they don't evolve. And then Poipole comes around.
That's untrue. Fun fact. Because it turns out that Cosmog is technically an Ultra Beast.
Oh, an Ultra Beast. You're right. So I guess they did. So now there's technically
two.
One branched evolution and one other evolution, an Ultra Beast. I think that they could either do one, a spin-off game in an Ultra dimension.
Oh.
I think that'd be really neat. Or you just carry on kind of with the Ultra story and you add more Ultra Beasts in upcoming games.
I think that's also a way to go. Man, they have so many interesting ways to go in terms of mechanics. I would like to see different types of Ultra Beast type things. Only because they all have the same ability, which is Beast Boost, which kind of makes them somewhat one-dimensional. And
yeah.
It doesn't give you the variety that normal Pokemon would. I could definitely see like an Ultra Space-esque story.
Well, what about in Ultra Space, they have a hidden ability or something?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be cool. Though we've already kind of done that, because you can go to Ultra Space now in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon if you'd finish the game, Bo. And
hey, man. That's why I was looking up the four Pokemon that I didn't know yet.
Also, I was about to make that a trivia question, by the way. This is a complete aside. If you look at the four Pokemon that were added in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, right? Well, not four, but if you look at the Yeah, if you look, because if you include Zeraora, well, if you include Zeraora and you include the three Ultra Beasts that they added, if you look at every single one of their names, there is not a single Pokemon that they added with less than four vowels in their name.
Oh, yeah, you said that before, too.
Yep.
Whipple, Naginadel, Stakataka,
Blacephalon, and Zeraora.
That's a lot of vowels. A
lot of vowels. They're just like, yeah, we want to make this hard to say. You can't pronounce these things. But Gen 8, though. Gen 8, I think you're reasonable as well. Maybe we're not thinking outside of the box enough. But you know what? That's not my job. That is the job of TPCI and Game Freak to be like, yeah, here's the next thing, and it's not going to break the game, and we can do it. I think the only thing I can think of that they can probably introduce is somehow including something kind of like the call feature from Pokemon Colosseum, where the trainer can do something in the battle, can do something to affect the outcome of the battle, right?
That would be neat. I was kind of talking about that with Snag, and he was saying, like, maybe, you know, each trainer has, like a job or a class, and that class is what you can do that affects the battle.
I don't know about that, because then you get, like, super heavy RPG elements.
That's what I was like, man, that's just going to be so much more to Pokemon, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that you have to do. But I could see the trainer being able to do like one of like four or five options to affect the battle.
I could see something like that. I think that would be really cool.
But I think the trainer already has that option with items.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know?
I don't know. Maybe the trainer can go like pick up the Pokemon and take a hit for it, and you can reenact the first episode of the Pokemon anime.
Okay, but you can also do that with the Pokemon doll or Poke toy.
Oh my gosh, you're just... Stop ruining it.
You just have to play the games the way I play them, with RPG in mind. Like, I play every game. Like, oh, I can't class in this game? Well, I'm going to play this game like I am this class anyway, and I'm going to catch these Pokemon, and I'm going to use these items, and I'm going to do it this way because I want to.
Bo, you're like the ideal person to be playing Pokemon, because that's what they want.
I know.
that is absolutely what they want. They just want you going, man, I want to play Pokemon this way, and shove your head cannon here.
I never stop pretending.
I don't know if that's a healthy lifestyle, Bo.
Totally is. You just gotta find you a person that also pretends with you, and we'll go on walks and like do weird stuff. It's great.
Oh, man.
All right. And back to you, Thatch.
So in Gen 8, I don't know what they could come out with next. They've changed moves. They've changed Pokemon themselves. I don't know how they could do it, other than like you were talking about adding a third type for a turn or something like that.
No, that was a total joke. That was not at all. Do not take that seriously. Shame on you for taking that seriously.
That would be okay. So I'm going to take it seriously now and just kind of expand upon it.
Maybe adding stab.
It wouldn't be something like, in terms of, I mean, Z moves kind of do that, right? They kind of add stab in terms of just like powering up the move greatly.
Yeah, totally. You're right.
I can see it being an awesome defensive move, right? Imagine something like Aegislash. You could probably bring Aegislash down to OU if an item like this existed. Where you go, okay, Aegislash is out there. I'm predicting Shadow Ball to come. I'm gonna click to activate my item, and I'm gonna turn my Pokemon into a normal type for half a move for this turn, right? It would be an interesting play, because the last two changes to mechanics have been, I would say, Mega Evolution is like 75% offensive, 25% defensive, but
don't they have that item already in the form of a berry? Isn't there a berry that, like, if you're hit with a blank type move, it negates it? Or
it won't make it immune.
It'll make it weaker.
It'll make it weaker. It'll cut the power in half. But so, say, like, Shadow Ball's coming and you turn into a normal type for a move. That would be kind of cool. Though, I don't know. That's
but aren't there abilities that do that already?
No, I don't think so.
Like normalize?
No, that changes the type of normal moves to a certain type. I don't know that normalize does that. I don't know if normalize exists.
I know like the Delcatty one has like a ability that changes all of its moves to normal type.
Yeah, that's different though. That I'm talking about changing the type of the Pokemon so you get the defensive advantage. I think that's what I would much rather have. So I would much rather have something where it's just like, okay, cool, Shadow Ball is immune for this turn because I turn into a normal type, or vice versa. You see a return or something coming from a Mega Kangaskhan, you click the button and you become a ghost type for a turn.
But that's what Protean is, though, isn't it?
No, Protean turns you into the type of Pokemon that of the last move type that you used. So this would be an item instead of Protean. I mean, it only lasts for a turn. Protean is permanent until you use your next move. So I mean, this would just be a temporary thing. I think that would be really cool. I mean, it would be, I would see it having niche play. It would be even less effective than Z moves currently, but I could definitely see some people using it
to utilize. Like, I think I'd much prefer any other item.
I think it would have a niche use, and I think I agree with you to an extent, because I mean, if you look at Z moves, not every team runs a Z move now, right? And even now in this current meta, you don't see a Mega Evolution on every team either. So I could see it becoming a niche thing, and I don't think it needs to be a game changer. Like Gen 6 meta, I think we can all agree, it was a lot of fun. It was probably one of the most balanced metas of all time. And it was just overall a good time. We were all happy with it.
There are so many Pokemon.
There were some broken Pokemon, I will say that.
Like who? Give me an example. Give me an example and tell me if it rhymes with Randorus.
Randorus. Does it rhyme with Randorus? Randorus Farian?
Randorus Farian.
Mega Kangaskhan.
Mega Kangaskhan got banned from OU, though, in Gen 6.
Yeah. They even nerfed its ability in the next generation.
Yes. But the problem is it can break a lot of things. Like, just double hit, multi-hit moves in general are really good. Especially with that kind of power. Because it's going to turn into a normal... Yeah, bye-bye Sash, bye-bye Substitute.
By Sturdy, by Substitute, yeah.
It's stupid good, and they could even nerf it down to like 100%, and then the baby Pokemon start doing 25 or 50% like it has it does now and in the past. They could nerf it down to 1% even, and I think you'd still see Mega Kangaskhan go to OU or go to Ubers, just because having that second like tap is really big.
Yeah, you can still take it out. Like, let's say you put a Pokemon all the way down to a Sash, the extra 1% will take it out.
Yep, and that's the big thing. I think that's what everybody goes with, is just how broken it is to break the Sash. Because with most other multi-hit moves, they're not super high base power. I think the highest base power one is probably maybe Double Hit, right? Or Tail Slap. And the only Pokemon that are using those are Skill Link Pokemon. But they're just not high base power moves. So it makes sense. I don't know. I think Gen 8 will come up with something. I honestly hope that it's just more Mega Evolutions. Like, just...
Pokemon Fusion.
No!
Do not stop. That's where we're going to end it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I love the cringe. Every episode, baby.
That is going to be the end of the topic today.
I will say this. If they do more Megas, give it to Pokemon that actually deserve it. Instead of giving all the pseudo legendaries,
yeah, Flygon doesn't need one. I'm telling you that, and I just got
wait a minute.
A lot
how come Flygon gets bad rep for it?
No, Flygon doesn't. So the community is all about that Flygon love, and I just like to make the community upset at me.
Give it to Dusknoir,
dude. Dusknoir needs a Mega now.
Yes,
and it is. I should do an entire episode on Battlecast just titled The Eviolite Problem.
I want a Mega Ladian.
Okay, that would be sweet.
Would it not be awesome?
Dude, Mega Ladian. I'm really upset, not about Ladian so much, but more about Butterfree not getting an Alolan form. I would have been so down with Butterfree becoming, instead of Grass Flying, like Psychic Bug or something like that. Not Grass Flying. Bug Flying, it would turn into Bug Psychic or something. I would have been down with that.
Hear me out. I want Mega Chandelure also.
Ooh.
I think Mega Chandelure would be so cool.
And give it like 15
have, like,
speed.
A bunch of little like crystal glass danglies.
Oh, right. That is where we're going to end it, guys. This is the topic. We're going to be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. Pokemon of the episode. And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 407, Roserade, the Bouquet Pokemon.
It's Gen 4 entry, say. It attracts prey with a sweet aroma, then downs it with thorny whips hidden in its arms. With the movements of a dancer, it strikes with whips that are densely lined with poison thorns.
Wait, time out. So, like, it's attracting prey, but it's a roserade. So it's like trying to... It's like, I guess maybe it's more of a masquerade party type deal, but I keep thinking it's supposed to be some kind of thief, but that
yeah.
makes...
It's like it has a sweet aroma, and the thing comes to it, and it's like, oh, look at me. I'm this very nice, pretty, mysterious dancer thing, and then I kill you with my deadly poison thorn hands. Aha!
And then I
with
eat
the
you.
Movements of a dancer, it strikes with whips that are densely lined with poison thorns. Each of its hand contains different toxins, but both hands can jab with near-fatal power.
Okay, why doesn't it learn Vine Whip?
Does it not? Does it at least learn Power Whip?
Checking.
No, it does not.
No. What the heck?
Oh, no, it does. It does. It does learn Power Whip now in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. It did not until Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, specifically Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Maybe because it has tiny thorn whips. Like,
it doesn't really matter because Roserade's base attack is garbage. It's base 70. He's got a base 60 HP, a base 55 defense. So if you kind of just hit it with a Flare Blitz, it's dead. If you sneeze a Flare Blitz at it, it's dead. And then special attack of 125, special defense of 105, speed of 90. These are like those last three stats are like good.
I'm not bad at all.
Yeah, those aren't bad stats. Oh, actually, I messed up. He actually gets a slight defense buff in Gen 6. I was reading up until Gen 5. He did get it. He has got a base 65 defense now, which is all right. It's not the greatest, but it's all right. Roserade, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not a terrible Pokemon. It's an RU right now.
I ran one for a while, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. Even now, I'd say it's not a bad Pokemon overall. You could probably get it to work in OU if you really wanted it to. However, there are a couple better grass types, namely like Tapu Bulu or Venusaur. Mega Venusaur is actually just the reason. It's just much better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case with a lot of Pokemon you'll notice in lower tiers, like in RU. It's just that there's a Pokemon that just does what it does better.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's Venusaur is a better Roserade. However, Roserade is still good. In RU, it can hold its own. I think a good move set for it would be Leaf Storm, Sludge Bomb. Probably Hidden Power Fire to cover something like... Well, Scizor is not down there, thankfully. But it can cover its weaknesses for other Grass-type Pokemon. I believe Fortress is an OU, so that hits Fortress, which would effectively wall it otherwise. And you've got another move slot, and you can throw something like Spikes in there. And you can just get Spikes up for free. You could also... It's got access to Extra Sensory, which I think is fantastic. And then it's also got access to something like... what is it? I mean, I guess Extra Sensory is the only thing that I would care about that it has otherwise.
Actually, it has quite... Like, as far as attacking moves, or are you just talking about moves in general?
Special attack moves. It does have Dazzling Gleam. It doesn't get Dazzling Gleam. But I think I would rather have Extra Sensory than Dazzling Gleam. I don't think Dazzling Gleam hits anything except for maybe Dark types, which aren't a huge threat in RU.
At least with Extra Sensory, you can get other Poison types that may wall your other moves.
Exactly. I think Extra Sensory is a better move overall. He does get... I don't think he gets Signal Beam, does he? I don't think he does. No, he does not. He does not get Signal Beam. So, I mean, those are the only things I would really care about. Maybe Venoshock. Maybe. You could probably try to set up Toxic Spikes and use Venoshock. But I'd much rather more reliably just use Spikes. He does get Synthesis. That's also worth a mention. If you plan on just going full-out attack mode, though, you could throw a Choice Scarf on there, 252 special attack, 252 speed, throw your other four wherever you want. I would also go ahead and just have fun with that. You could do Life Orb as well, or Poisium Z even. I would say Poisium Z because Chestnut is also down in RU right now. And Chestnut has that Bulletproof ability, which I think a lot of people forget about almost all the time. And if you're not running Extra Sensory, I would honestly say run Poisium Z, because then you can actually hit Chestnut with a Poison-type move and actually do something. If not, Chestnut's just going to sit there and be like, haha, your Sludge Bomb does nothing, while it sits there and decides to Focus Punch you or something, I guess. I actually don't know what Chestnut does anymore.
Sub up.
Yeah, sub up. I mean, if you're not running Extra Sensory, run Poison Z. One, you get to use the Poison Z move, which you don't get to use that often. And two, you can kill those Chestnut. That's a real big thing. Also, Escavalier's down there. I forgot. So Hidden Power Fire is a must. Hidden Power Fire is definitely a must. So that is the competitive aspect.
Rose Raiden's got some pretty neat trivia.
Ooh, go for it.
So Rose Raiden pre-evolution are the only poison type Pokemon in the Fairy Egg group.
Okay.
But the most interesting thing is Rose Raid is one of the only two third stage Pokemon which can be obtained at level 1, the other being Porygon Z. That would be a really good trivia question. Because everybody knows Porygon Z.
That's true, but not Roserade. Nobody knows Roserade.
I didn't realize Roserade.
Shiny Roserade also looks pretty sweet, by the way.
And its name is a combination of Rose and Masquerade.
That I wouldn't have known.
And you'll love this batch. Rosie wears a Roserade costume in Pokemon Battle Revolution.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Man, yeah. I miss Pokemon Battle Revolution so much.
You want to just hang out and play some B-Revs?
Kind of, yeah. You're taking me back to my, what's it called? You're taking me back to my high school years.
We can't even get on the NFC anymore with our Wiis, can we?
No, we could probably get on one of the third-party ones that people are running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm going to go steal my Wii from my parents.
We should try to figure this out. Only so we can have that one Pokemon Battle Revolution battle and then never do anything
then
again.
Then never do it ever again.
Yeah. So
we should set up some sick tournaments.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Some real Pokemon Underground.
All right. So Roserade also has one card currently in rotation. It's not very good. It's an Ultra Prism, though the art's kind of cool. Most TCG cards, I think the only reason to get them are the cool art. And this is one of them. Because Roserade's a stage 1, 100 HP, grass type. For one grass energy, it gets Inviting Poison, which is switch one of your opponent's bench Pokemon with their active Pokemon. The new active Pokemon is now poisoned. You've just wasted an attack on what some Pokemon can do as an ability. And then for two grass energy and a colorless, so that's already too much energy. 100 damage, which is too much energy for that much damage. You can move any number of grass energy from your Pokemon in any other way you like. It's kind of grass energy shuffle, but you probably shouldn't be playing grass if you want to do energy transfer. You should be running metal or electric right now. I don't know about any other types right now that are doing energy transfer. You can tell me I'm wrong. I'm not super hyped on the TCG right now. I haven't been playing competitively for a while. But in my opinion, I would say just go play metal. Just go play metal. Metal's going to be such a good type. I really like metal in the TCG right now. So that is it for Roserade. We are going to kick it on over now, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
Very enthusiastic, guys. And as always, we'll give out the Green Tauros badge roll to anybody we think inspires discussion here today. For those of you who are new to the show, this is the segment where we read listener emails and we talk about their ideas and their concepts. It's a way for you, the listener, to become part of the show, part of the discussion, part of the conversation. And as always, we have a mailbag prompt, and this week was, what new Mega Evolutions would you like to see come out if Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, if you think they're happening? So we're going to dig right into this mailbag, but first, a word from our buddy Basket. So he writes to us, "Hey Puckle Peeps, it's your buddy Basket. Last episode for the Pokemon the episode, you were wondering why Slowking isn't as high a tier as Slowbro. Freaking Calm Mind, bros. Slowking is lame because he has a lower defense stat and no move to increase it in the same way Calm Mind increases Slowbro's special while boosting its main attack stat. Special. Look all over Smogon. Once Slowbro got Calm Mind, maybe it always had it, I'm too lazy to check. It did always have it, Basket. Vanilla Slowbro always has it in sets. Only way Slowbro doesn't is in those goofy Mega Slowbro sets. Anyways, Basket loves you peeps. Keep keeping it cool. Basket." I guess he's right, but that's fine. That's all. I just wanted Basket to have his say in the show. But
Basket was right.
Basket was right.
Everyone, Basket was right.
So this next one is from Jakes. I don't even know how to say his name, but that's fine. And Maximus, you got this one.
I think it's Joe.
Joe?
Yeah. Well,
it's got an X in it, though.
Yeah.
Jax.
People, if you put like Jax, Jax.
Joe? I think it's Joe.
Jock.
So he gets the badge because we just had a 30-minute conversation about how to pronounce his name, right? And
yeah, do a pronunciation. I'm calling him Sam. I need to do that with my name. That was all like trying to pronounce it right.
Yeah, Trainer Red. And then, all right. So this email is from Sam or Jax. Go for it, Maximus.
Hello, Puckle. I'm Sam. Or online, I'm Jax. I've been listening to Puckle since July, and this is my first email. It's fairly easy question for me to answer, as my favorite Pokemon is from Gen 1, Arcanine. I'd love to see Arcanine get a Mega, and I think I have thought up some feasible ideas of what it would be resembled. First, if Arcanine Mega Evolved, I think it will probably remain Mono Fire, although I think it could possibly gain the Dragon type.
The Dragon type? I don't think so. Maybe Dark type.
He gets like Dragon Rage and stuff, and he's like the legendary Pokemon. I'd probably see him get more like a Dark type or even a Psychic type.
Fairy type.
Fairy? I could see Fairy type, totally.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't see it with a Fairy type.
I think I see Mono Fire before anything else, but if he's going to gain a type, yeah, I don't think Dragon.
We got so many Fairy Steel Pokemon, it's disgusting.
Dude, a Fairy Fire would be sweet.
Dude, there are so many times I've been team building, I'm like, yeah, now if I just put my Fairy Fire type here, my team would be really nice and balanced, and then I don't have it.
And then if he gets the like the Chinese Lion face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that totally works.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Done.
We just designed a perfectly good
Game
Mega.
Freak, that one's on us. We'll let you have that one for free.
There you go. You can have it, bro, for free.
All right. Keep going, Maximus.
As for stats, I think it'll possibly just gain 20 in all its stats, except for HP, of course. Alternately, it could gain 30 to 40 points in attack and speed and have the rest of the points evenly distributed. As for abilities, I could see it having Reckless, Sheer Force, Defiant, Tough Claws, or Fur Coat. I also think Fire 8, which turns normal moves into Fire type, could also be an option, although I think Fur Coat is the most likely. If it did gain a Fur Coat, its combination with normal Arcanine's Intimidate would make it very resistant to physical attacks, especially if you Willow wasn't burn it, too.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
That'd be disgusting.
Yeah.
That combination, Fur Coat, Intimidate, and Willow was all on the same turn.
Mm-hmm. I could also see it being like, that would be stupid broken. I think if we had Mega Arcanine, and this is an aside, I'll save it. You should finish the email.
Okay. This will make Arcanine even more naturally bulky, as it already has decent bulk. Combined, what would be a monster attack and good speed would make Arcanine a very strong mon. Touching on some of the other abilities, Reckless would be very good for Arcanine, as it has access to Flare Blitz and Wild Charge. Tough Claws would make Arcanine extremely strong mon, and I think its ability is at least likely to be used. Overall, I think Arcanine could be a strong candidate to Mega Evolve and could be very good. Here are a few images. Oh, wait. Okay, I'm reading this out loud, but you guys can't see the images.
Yeah, we appreciate the images, but it's very hard to translate them to an audio podcast.
They're still cool for us to look at.
Let us enjoy the cool things, guys. We're going to take 5 minutes of silence so we can stare at these pictures, okay?
Nah, we'll just stare at them off. But they're like, yeah, they look neat.
Yeah.
The last one looks like it could be a fire and electric type.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like a squirrel.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a squirrel. You want to finish that email up?
Well, I hope my email proved interesting and sparked some conversation.
Just wait.
Keep up the good work, Puckle. With regard, Sam. P.S. Keep in mind I'm biased toward Arcanine, so some of my ideas may not be overpowered.
They are. that's where we're going to go. So I think the fur coat wouldn't work just because Arcanine's defense is already gross, and it would just be too good, especially with the Willow, like you were saying, Maximus. That would just be stupid.
All in one turn. I feel bad for whatever physical force that goes against it.
I also see Arcanine potentially kind of getting into a Mega Garchomp type phase, right? Where, let's say you make Mega Arcanine and you don't change its base speed, you just change like its attack and maybe a couple of its defenses, right? I think people would opt to still run regular Arcanine over Mega Arcanine because, one, they can save their Mega Stone or they could throw an item on Arcanine. I think throwing something like Leftovers on Arcanine is super powerful as it is.
Well, it does get Morning Sun, so it has its own recovery.
It does. It does get some recovery, but I still think something like Leftovers on a bulky Arcanine is way better. I mean, it depends on what Mega Arcanine turns out to be, like, I guess. Maybe he gets a type added to him. That might be good. I mean, I would, like I said at the beginning, I'd take Fire Fairy.
Oh, yeah, totally. Fire Fairy sounds rad.
I mean, that's where I'll end it. I think it sounds really good. I mean, Arcanine, I think, I agree with you, is a good candidate. I don't know what that would entail. Though, if we get Mega Arcanine, we should totally get Mega Ninetales. But then you get the Alolan issue.
No. Yeah, they've already got Alolan.
It's like I said earlier, anything with a Alolan form should not get a Mega Evolution.
I don't know. I like the mouthful.
All kinds of duos with Megas. Like, they have Mega Beedrill, but not Mega Butterfree. You have, you know, Mega Aggron, but not Mega Walrein. You know?
I only say I want regular Mega Ninetales because I think Ninetales as a Mega has more potential to become a Fire Fairy than Arcanine, personally. I just want a Fire Fairy.
I think Mega Rapidash could be a really sweet Fire Fairy.
Yes, that one should be
with
Fire
like
Fairy.
Pegasus wings.
Yes.
That was a solid response from both of you.
It was not a yes, baby, or could be. It's a solid yes.
Yeah, we've already. There's another one for you, Game Freak. Just take it. All
these
right.
These are low balls, bro.
Yep.
Just hit them.
All right, so this next one is from Uncle Oshawott, and this is for you, Bo.
Yes, yes, yes. Mega Evolution. Its introduction sparked a new era of Pokemon that was quickly snuffed out before Gen 5 even got a second one. But hey, if the rumors are true, we may finally get more of this amazing mechanic. With more first-gen love, of course. Well, if I need to give a Mega to a first-gen Pokemon, how about we give to someone who desperately needs it? Someone who is underappreciated, has a great design, and is currently in PU. That's right, I'm talking about Dewgong. Of all the underappreciated first-gen Pokemon, I think Dewey reigns supreme. I think the first step to give him some more colors. Plain white looks great in Seal, but Dewgong's monochromatic design isn't doing any favors. His Mega would probably include gems and royal decor. Do give him that regal Prince of the Sea look. A type change would probably do him good as well. Maybe just make him a pure water type.
Ice Dragon.
Ice Dragon, yes. Yes, he's a puppy dragon.
Now, to be fair with Zubon, the only reason why it's in PU, because there are a lot of other water ice Pokemon that does his job way better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's so like, many.
Ice water is like normal flying. Like, there's just so many of them. There's just so many of those mons, though.
I don't go that far.
Okay. Anyway. These typos, buddy. Anyway, yep. That's my casted palette for a Gen 1 Mega Evo. What do you think? What do you guys think? Should we focus more on the underappreciated underbelly of Gen 1? Sincerely, your Unclest Oshawott. Uncle Oshawott.
Honestly, before this email, I forgot that Dewgong was a Pokemon.
He is not a holder of the Green Tauros badge.
I always thought he was.
Uncle Oshawott is not.
Really?
That being said, I still think it goes to Joe.
I still like Sam.
Sam Jocks Jax. Well, let's all call him by a different name. It's fine.
I'm gonna say it's Joe. I'm putting my money on Joe.
Joe, Jax, Jex. Sam.
Yeah, let's all bet on it. What do you guys think? What do you guys want to wager?
I'm going with Jake's.
Well, I know. I don't know what y'all just giving me money. I'm saying it's Sam.
Too good.
I think it's Joe.
Well, you can be wrong, Joe. Bo, it's fine. But if you want to email us next time, you could do so by emailing us at pucklepodcast.com. Also, Joe, yeah, you get the Green Taurus badge roll. Just ask somebody on the website. If you want to email us next week, you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, answering the question, what new mechanic would you like to see in Gen 8, or would you not even want to see a new one at all? Would you just want Mega Flygon? Let us know in the in the emails. Yeah. So that is it for this week, guys. If you want more Puckly goodness, well, guess what? You can on Thursday by going checking out the Puckle Plus feed, where we're going to be dropping Battlecast about RU.
And I promised I will this week.
I don't care, Bo. but as always, you can always follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit. All of those are on PucklePodcast.com. More importantly, come and hang out with us on our Discord server. The link to invite to that is in the show notes, as always. And it's also on our website, PucklePodcast.com. And if you want to help support the show, you can do so in a couple different ways. One, you can just come and watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. Jushiro and myself are always on there doing some kind of Pokemon shenanigans. And you can support the show there as well monetarily by just subscribing to us with your free Amazon Prime subscription. We really appreciate that. You can also just check out our TeePublic and get a sweet throw pillow or onesie for your child, as well as regular t-shirts. The show note, that's also in the show notes. And finally, if you want to support the show more directly and get a cool Bosifus trading card, you can go to, patreon.com/pucklepodcast and become a supporter there, because we're going to be opening up a lot of new Patreon-specific content in the near future, one of those being a PTU podcast that we're going to be testing there. So if you want to check that out and listen to it, possibly for the only time that we'll ever release it, probably not, you could do it there as well. And also, it'll always have early release of that podcast as when it finally goes public. So definitely check that out. I guess that's it for me here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower. I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Bosifus.
I'm Mr. Maximus.
And it's closing time. And as always, we here at the Puckle Podcast would like to thank our patrons for making what we do here possible. So thank you to Viger, Duly Noted, Ten Little Men, Dr. Shamu, Dexio, Chris, Alvarin, Claude 9, Rotted Mushroom, Jimmy Wilson, John, Miguel, Paul, Marcus, Alaria, Andrea, Doc Knox, Mikey, Alec, The Golden Klefki, TJ, Birdkeeper Cobra, Doc McStuffles, John, Greg, Trevor, Jesse, Kevin, Traby, Joshua, Nathan, Daniel, Nick, Ironcaster, Dylan, Shira, Sparky, Orange Avenger, Ozzy, Jedi DJ, Michael, Echo, Anime Gravy, Inferno, Alex, Michael, Eric, Travis, Thomas, and Curtis. We thank you for your patronage, and as always, keep it cool. So we will catch you next week on the Flip Flop.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.